want to follow the reading in your Bibles, it's 1154, 1154, 1 Corinthians 14, 1 to 25. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets so that the church may be edified. Now, brothers and sisters, if I come to you and speak in tongues, what good will I be to you unless I bring you some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or word of instruction? Even in the case of lifeless things that make sounds, such as the pipe or harp, how will anyone know what tune is being played unless there is a distinction in the notes? Again, if the trumpet does not sound a clear call, who will get ready for battle? So it is with you. Unless you speak intelligible words with your tongue, how will anyone know what you are saying? You will just be speaking into the air. Undoubtedly, there are all sorts of languages in the world, yet none of them is without meaning. If then I do not grasp the meaning of what someone is saying, I am a foreigner to the speaker, and the speaker is a foreigner to me. So it is with you. Since you are eager for gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those that build up the church. For this reason, the one who speaks in a tongue should pray that they may interpret what they say. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my understanding. Otherwise, when you are praising God in the spirit, how can someone else who is now put in the position of an inquirer say amen to your thanksgiving, since they do not know what you are saying? You are giving thanks well enough, but no one else is edified. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. But in the church, I would rather speak 5 intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brothers and sisters, stop thinking like children. In regard to evil, be infants, but in your thinking, be adults. In the law, it is written, with other tongues and through the lips of foreigners, I will speak to this people. But even then, they will not listen to me, says the Lord. Tongues, then, are a sign not for believers, but for unbelievers. Prophecy, however, is not for unbelievers, but believers. So if the whole church comes together and everyone speaks in tongues, and inquirers or unbelievers come in, will they not say that you are out of your mind? But if an unbeliever or an inquirer comes in while everyone is prophesying, they are convicted of sin and are brought under judgment by all, as the secrets of their hearts are laid bare. So they will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. It's a real privilege to be with you here this morning. My name is Torsten Prill. They said I should introduce myself, so let me briefly do that. My wife and I, we served as Crosslinks missionaries for the last 9 years in Namibia, and we returned to the UK in September last year. We're now working at Edinburgh Bible College, which is based in Wester Hills. And we're excited to be in Scotland. The weather is a bit extreme for us. It's very different from what we are used to, but we enjoy the snow. But now let's turn to God's word. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And all the people said, Amen. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters, let me start by asking you a question. Why are you part of St. Thomas's? Why are you part of St. Thomas's? Why do you come to this church? Why do you come to this church? Well, I can think of a few reasons why some people might have made St. Thomas's their spiritual home. From my own experience over the last few weeks and months, I can say that St. Thomas's is a very friendly and welcoming church. People introduce themselves to newcomers before the service, and after the service, good coffee and quality biscuits are served over there in the church hall. And when you come here for Cafe Church, you even get a croissant. And when you need practical help, as we needed it a couple of times in the last few weeks and months, people are quick to help. There seems to be a real sense of community here at St. Thomas's. But that is not the only reason why people come to this church. There must be other reasons. I'm sure many of you are part of this church because you don't have readings from the holy books of other religions in your Sunday service. Because your rector over here doesn't ask you to pray about the sexual orientation of Her Majesty's great-grandson. And you are not told that it's okay to change the words of Jesus about marriage and deny their plain meaning. No, you won't find any of that here at St. Thomas's. What you find here is the faithful proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Week in, week out, the word of God is preached here in the services, explained at the central meeting, and studied together in the home groups. And that's how it should be, brothers and sisters. But we should never take that for granted. All this can change very quickly. At the time the Apostle Paul wrote his first letter to the Corinthians, the proclamation of the gospel in the meetings of the church in Corinth was under threat. It was under threat because there was a large number of people in the congregation who felt that they should use one of their spiritual gifts in the church meetings, in the worship meetings. And that was the gift of speaking in tongues, the gift of speaking in tongues. Now, speaking in tongues was a legitimate gift. But here in Corinth, people exercised this gift to demonstrate their spiritual superiority. In other words, they used this gift to show off and to outshine others. And by doing so, they caused quite some disorder in the worship services. They basically kidnapped the services. They dominated the services so much that there was hardly any time left for the sharing of God's word. The Corinthian Christians clearly got their priorities wrong. Now, the Apostle Paul sees that and he decides to help them to reorder their priorities. How does Paul do that? He basically does two things. Firstly, he encourages the Corinthians to desire spiritual gifts, but with the right motivation. And secondly, he encourages the Corinthians to use spiritual gifts, but for the right purposes. So let's have a look at the first point. Paul encourages the Corinthians to desire spiritual gifts, but with the right motivation. This is how Paul starts when he addresses the issue of tongues in Corinth. Verse 1. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. Eagerly desire spiritual gifts, says Paul. Dear brothers and sisters, these are very strong words that the Apostle Paul is using here. Strong words. Paul is using these strong words to assure the Corinthians that he personally has no problem with spiritual gifts at all. On the contrary, spiritual gifts have an important part or important role to play in the life of the church. They are by no means to be despised. That's Paul's conviction. Friends, as Christians, we should desire spiritual gifts. We should prayerfully look for them. We should help each other to discover them and then to develop them. And finally, of course, to use them. Why should we all do all that? Because spiritual gifts come from God. The Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit imparts spiritual gifts to Christians. One believer receives one gift, another believer receives another. Some receive more than one. Spiritual gifts are gifts of God's grace. We cannot buy them. We do not deserve them. But the Lord gives them to us freely. Now, a healthy church will always have a great variety of these gifts. In Corinth, the believers cherished their spiritual gifts, but they went to the extreme with one, the gift of speaking in tongues. Now, the nature of this gift has been and is still hotly debated by Christians. There are many different views when it comes to the gift of speaking in tongues. But one thing is clear. For the Apostle Paul, a tongue is a language inspired by the Holy Spirit, and not just some meaningless sounds strung together. It's a language that most people don't understand and therefore needs to be interpreted. Well, the Corinthians used that gift extensively. Actually, they overdid it with that one. Now, unfortunately, we can still find churches that make the same mistake today. In these churches, the ability to speak in tongues is often considered the litmus test for true Christianity. However, there are also churches where gifts are hardly mentioned, let alone used. People are actually discouraged when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit in these churches. If at all, they are told something like that. Well, if you think you have a spiritual gift, and if you think there are no other things going on in your life which are more important right now, and if you think you have enough time and energy, then you may want to consider using them every now and again, that is, but please don't feel that you have to. Friends, that is the other extreme. Christians who don't use their spiritual gifts. Christians who are not sure what kind of gifts they have. Christians who believe that they have not received any gifts at all. I know that this is not the general attitude here at St. Thomas's, but please allow me to be very blunt with you at this point. Now, this is the point where I'm putting my British politeness aside for a second. And my German roots are showing through, so be warned now. Tell me, what are your spiritual gifts? What are your spiritual gifts? I'm talking about gifts, spiritual gifts, gifts from God, not natural talents. There can be an overlap between these two, but they are not necessarily the same, not necessarily identical. So what are your spiritual gifts? What gifts have you received from the Lord? Are you not sure? You're not sure that you have any at all? Well, if that is the case, then please listen carefully. If you are a child of God this morning, If you love the Lord Jesus, if you trust that he is the Son of God, the Son of God who came to reconcile us sinful human beings with their Creator, if you trust that he died on the cross for the forgiveness of your sin, that he was made alive again on the third day, that he ascended to heaven, that he is sitting at the right hand side of God, and that he will come again to judge the world and fully establish his eternal kingdom. If you believe all that because that's what the Bible teaches you, then you can also trust what the Bible teaches about the gifts of the Spirit. And that means when it comes to the distribution of gifts to believers, no believer is excluded. This is what Paul, after having listed several gifts, is saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. He says, "All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines." Every Christian believer has spiritual gifts, at least one. Every Christian believer. So tell me, what are your gifts? What are your gifts? Is it serving practically? Is it prayer? Is it encouraging brothers and sisters in Christ who are going through a difficult time? Is it helping those in need? Is it leadership? Is it offering hospitality? Is it administration? What are your gifts? My dear brothers and sisters, if you don't know your gifts, I'm sure David McCarthy over here and the church leadership will be pleased to help you to explore and to find out. And if, however, you know your gifts, but you haven't used them here in this congregation, I'm equally sure that David and others will help you to use them. Friends, the Lord has given us gifts to use them. If Christians don't use their spiritual gifts, the church suffers. It's a silent suffering, but it's a very painful suffering. The Apostle Paul knows that, and so he asked the Corinthians to eagerly desire spiritual gifts. But you can see from verse 1, have a look at verse 1, Paul adds something here. He says, eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. All gifts are important for the life of the church, but there is a special need for the gift of prophecy in the church in Corinth at that time. So what is this gift of prophecy about? Well, when people hear the word prophecy, they usually think about the prediction of future events. But that is not the main meaning of prophecy as we can find it here in the New Testament. In the New Testament, the meaning of prophecy is much broader than that. Now, in chapter 13, verse 2, Paul gives us a hint of the nature of prophecy when he says, "If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge." What does that mean? Well, it means that someone who has the gift of prophecy has some spiritual insight, some spiritual understanding and discernment that others don't have or don't have to that extent. Maybe they can see what God's will is for a specific situation, and they can see it clearer than others. Maybe they are able to apply God's word at a specific time in the life of the church. They speak God's word to God's people at a certain time, providing them with God's warning, God's correction, and God's encouragement. Let me tell you a short story. A missionary friend of mine was on her way to visit her main sending church in Germany. This church had faithfully and generously supported her for over many, many, many years. For many years, they had taken collections, big collections, and prayed for her in the Sunday service and in the mission committee. And now the church had invited her to give a presentation about her work in Northern Africa after the Sunday service. My friend was sitting on the train, and she was reading her Bible when she stumbled over one verse. She instantly knew that she had to share that verse with the church. She was overwhelmed with the conviction that this is what the Lord wanted her to do. At the same time, she was very anxious about the whole thing. She had never experienced something like that before. Well, the following day after the Sunday service, the church hall was packed with people who wanted to listen to their missionary from Africa. And there she stood, trembling inwardly. She went to the front and she said something like this. There is one thing I have to say to you this morning. It's something that the Lord has put on my heart. I don't know why he has chosen me, but I know that this is what I must say to you now. And then she opened her Bible. She went to Revelation chapter 3, verse 15, and she said, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. Well, as you can imagine, the church was shocked. And there was silence for quite a while. But you see, the people didn't feel offended at all. They felt ashamed because they instantly knew that this verse, which the Lord Jesus had spoken to the church in Laodicea, they knew that this verse was a word from the Lord for them. This missionary presentation that afternoon became an important turning point in the life of the congregation. On that day, God had used that missionary to warn this rich and busy and well-known Lutheran church that they had lost sight of Jesus. Friends, this is surely one way to understand the gift of prophecy. It is not by chance that in his letter to the Ephesians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul mentions prophets together with apostles, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. What all these ministries have in common is that they're all ministries of the word. In one way or another, prophets, apostles, evangelists, pastors, and teachers share God's word with others. Now, if you have a gift in that area, then please don't keep it to yourself. God has given you that gift to use it. Both the church and the world need to hear what God has to say to them. Speak to the leadership here at St. Thomas, and if they can confirm your gifting, then use that gift. But do it, and that's the point, but do it with the right motivation. That is what Paul is reminding the Corinthians of when he says, follow the way of love, eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. Follow the way of love. That's how he starts. As Christians, we are to use our gifts not to show off, not to impress others, like some of the Corinthians did. They used their gifts to enhance their own status in the church, leaving others behind feeling like second-class Christians. Their motivation was their sinful desire to stand out, to stand above others, to be at the center of attention. At the end of the day, they were motivated by their love for themselves. But the right motivation, brothers and sisters, the right motivation for using the gifts of the Spirit should be love for Jesus and love for one another. The love that truly follows Jesus is not the love which indulges itself and seeks its own fame. The love that truly follows Jesus is not the love that seeks to serve my own ego. No, the love that truly follows Jesus is the love that goes out in service to others. In service to others. And that brings me to our second point. The Apostle Paul encourages the Corinthians to use their spiritual gifts, but for the right purpose. The purpose must be the right one. And this is exactly the point when those Corinthians who stood up in the worship services, and other church meetings when they got it so terribly wrong. Listen what Paul is saying to them in verse 2. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit. And then Paul adds in verse 4, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. You see, those in Corinth who were using the gift of tongues used them to edify themselves, to build up themselves and themselves only. They speak to God using languages which they don't understand. They're using languages which the people around them don't understand. Mit ihren Worten wendeten sie sich an Gott, aber ihre Mitchristen kriegten nichts mit, aber auch gar nichts. Wenn ihr die Gemeinde bei Makar gekommen hätt, dann hätt die Partei geloofig es beginnen, um in andere Talen zu praten. Maar die meeste andere Menschen in die Gemeinde konnten nie verstaan, wat Hölle sei nie. Now, did you understand what I was saying? Well, if you don't speak German or Afrikaans or perhaps Dutch, you probably didn't get much. But now you know how some people in Corinth must have felt when one person after another in the service stood up and started to speak in the language that no one understood. They felt like strangers in their own church. The Apostle Paul describes that kind of feeling in verses 10 and 11. Have a look at these verses. This is what Paul says. He says, undoubtedly, there are all sorts of languages in the world, yet none of them is without meaning. If then I do not grasp the meaning of what someone is saying, I am a foreigner to the speaker, and he is a foreigner to me. Dear friends, for those who spoke in tongues in Corinth, it might have been an uplifting spiritual exercise. But for the rest of the believers who couldn't understand them, it was a pointless exercise. It didn't help them at all. They were given the role of spectators, and they were made foreigners in their own church. And that is what Paul is criticizing here. Please also note that Paul is stressing that those who speak in tongues are actually addressing God. They're addressing God. The idea that messages for the church come in tongues, in words that no one understands, is nowhere found in Paul's letters. Dear brothers and sisters, the gift of tongues is clearly overrated in the church in Corinth. This is what we can see from that passage. People are using their gifts of speaking in tongues in the wrong place for the wrong purpose. If they want to use it at home, if they want to use it in private, fair enough. If it strengthens their faith, it will be a very good exercise. Paul even says in verse 5 that he would like everyone in the church to speak in tongues, but to use it in the worship services and in the other church meetings, where there is not even an interpreter who can translate what is said, that is actually counterproductive. How different is that with the other spiritual gifts, such as prophecy? These gifts are much more beneficial to the church, says Paul here. They show that God knows, that God cares, and that God is still in control. Paul writes in verses 3 and 4, but everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. You see, in contrast with tongues which build oneself up, other gifts like prophecy build other people up. They strengthen the faith of the congregation. They help to know the people in the church to get to know Jesus better and better and better. They lift up those who feel downhearted, who have lost all hope. They also remind the believers that there is more to life than a nice house, a good pension, and the next holiday. They help them to keep their eyes fixed on Jesus. They help them to keep their eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. My dear brothers and sisters, spiritual gifts like prophecy, teaching, preaching, and pastoral care, to name just a few, I could name many more, they help the people of God to trust in Jesus more and more. That's the reason why the gift of prophecy and other gifts have a higher value than the gift of tongues. And Paul leaves us with no doubt about that. He says, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. He who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues. You see, God has given each and every one of us gifts. Gifts that we are to use for the strengthening of the church. In verse 12, the Apostle Paul even speaks about excelling in gifts that build up the church. Now let me ask you again. Do you think you excel in the gifts that build up the church of Christ here at St. Thomas's? Are you all using the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given you? Or are some of these gifts stored away? Been touched, untouched for years, unused for whatever reasons. Now, friends, I don't want to put you on a guilt trip. Far from it. No one wants you to use your spiritual gifts because you feel guilty about it. We should rather rejoice and be grateful for the fact that a gracious God has given us gifts so that we can celebrate, demonstrate, and communicate Jesus Christ in one way or another by word or deed. We should rejoice and be grateful for that. Now, having said that, we need to be aware that it, of course, will have consequences if we don't use the gifts that the Lord has given us. If we don't use the gifts the Lord has given us, the church, as I said before, will suffer. The church will suffer. Some people will be left on their own with their questions and doubts and fears. There will be people who won't grow in their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but they will stay baby Christians who quickly and accept and follow all kinds of false teachings. This is what will happen if we don't exercise our spiritual gifts with the purpose of building up the church of Christ. However, there is another purpose for using our spiritual gifts. And Paul talks about that purpose at the end of this passage. The purpose of spiritual gifts is not only to strengthen the believers in the church, but it's also to reach out to the unbelievers outside the church. Have a look at verse 23. Paul says, so if the whole church comes together and everyone speaks in tongues and some who do not understand or some unbelievers come in, will they not say that you are out of your mind? In other words, tongues don't have a message for the church and they don't have a message for those who are lost. They don't have a message. A message in tongues can never convict the heart of a lost sinner. When it comes to evangelism, tongues are pretty, pretty useless. But if we use all other gifts, all the other spiritual gifts that we have in a church like this, if we use all these gifts for our evangelism, we will see people coming to faith in Christ. This is what Paul is saying here. And this is something that we should take to heart. Verse 24. But if an unbeliever or someone who does not understand comes in while everybody is prophesying, he will be convinced by all that he is a sinner and will be judged by all, and the secrets of his heart will be laid bare. So he will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. Friends, wouldn't it be great to see more more of that here at St. Thomas's. There is someone who is far away from God, far away, who is walking on the broad road that leads to destruction. But God uses the ministry here at this church. He uses the gifts of the people here at St. Thomas. He uses your gifts to reach out to that person. God draws him or her closer and closer. He speaks the gospel of salvation to that man or woman, to that boy or girl. He opens his heart, he opens her heart. And the lost sinner finds faith in Jesus, and begins to glorify God. Wouldn't it be great to see that here at St. Thomas more often? Someone who starts trusting Jesus, someone who falls down on his knees and worships the Lord, exclaiming, "Jesus is really among you here at St. Thomas's." Wouldn't it be great to see that more often? Dear brothers and sisters, I've reached the end of my time this morning. I begin by asking you a question. Why do you come to St. Thomas's? Why do you come to this church? Let me close by suggesting an answer. We come to St. Thomas's Church to use our gifts, gifts that we receive from a gracious God. We come to St. Thomas's Church to use this gift so that God's people will be built up. Lost sinners will be added to the church. And God will be glorified. To him, the giver of all good gifts, be all the honor and glory forever and ever. And all the people said, Amen. Amen.